Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures. Oh, come on and help me preach, the mercy of the Lord endures. Come on and help me preach, the mercy of the Lord endures. Ah, glory be to God, for God is good, and his mercy endures forever. Glory be to the name of God. He is a good, good Father. My God, he's the kind of father that you can call on when you ask for bread. He gives you bread. He doesn't give you stone. He's the kind of father that you call on him, and when you ask for fish, he doesn't give you a serpent. He is a good, good father. Bless the name of the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall come. My God is good. My God is good. Oh, he's such a good God. I love the Lord. He heard my cry. He heard my cry. Glory be to God. In the middle of the night, he heard my cry. In the early mornings of hours of the morning, he heard my cry. At noonday, he hears my cry. What an awesome God I serve. He's a good, good God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Anyway, my respect to Pastor Delson, Lady Patricia. Pastor Delson, thank you, sir, as always, for the opportunity to be able to lift up the God that I love. So thank you very much. I want to acknowledge my friends from Friendship Village. They're here with us today, and I just want to say thank you so much for coming and spending some time with us and hanging out with us. I love you guys. Let's, yeah. So thank you so much for taking the time to hang out with us, and it just goes to show that God is at work, and we're honored to have you be a part of us, of our service this morning. So if you would take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 6. I'm not going to read the whole thing just for the sake of time, but start from verse 12 down to 14, then we're going to jump down to 23. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 12. I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible. It says, "It was reported to King David, 'The Lord has blessed Obed-Edom's family and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God.' So David went and had the ark of God brought up from Obed-Edom's house to the city of David with rejoicing. When those carrying the ark of the Lord advanced 6 steps, he sacrificed an ox and a fattened calf. David was dancing with all his might before the Lord, wearing a linen ephod." Jump down to verse 20. "When David returned home to bless his household, Saul's daughter Michal came out to meet him. 'How the king of Israel honored himself today,' she said. 'He exposed himself today in the sight of the slave girls of his subjects like a vulgar person, but exposed himself.' David replied to Michal, 'It was before the Lord who chose me over your father and his whole family to appoint me over me ruler over the Lord's people, Israel. I will dance before the Lord, and I will dishonor myself and humble myself even more. However, by the slave girls you spoke about, I will be honored.' And Saul's daughter Michal had no child to the day of her death." Let us pray. Father God, as I stand before your people this day, I stand as a mouthpiece, O God, as a servant, as a witness for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. As I stand to deliver your word, I declare it goes forth unhindered and unchecked by any demonic force. Father God, I pray that heaven would invade earth this day. God, that your will in heaven would be done in this service. God, that your will be done in this service. God baptized us this day with Holy Ghost and fire. God, that your name might be glorified and the people edified. And I honor you and I bless you. I thank you for the word planted. I thank you for the edification of your people. And God, I thank you that above all, you are the one glorified. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, oh, bless the name of the Lord. So just to give backdrop to the scripture leading into it, the Ark of the Covenant had been taken by the Philistines when Eli's two sons died. The Ark was taken. It stayed in the Philistine territory for about 7 months to a year. And so they decided that they would put the Ark of the Covenant in their temple, and God showed who the true and living God was. Because the Bible said when they put the Ark in their temple that their God Dagon was broken before the true and living God. And the Bible says that there were tumors that broke out on the bodies of the Philistines. And so they decided that we need to get this ark from out of our territory. And so they decided to send the ark down into a city in Israel. And so when they sent it down to Abinadab's home, the Bible says it stayed there for 20 years. And so David decided, we're going to go down and get the ark because we wanted the ark. He wanted the ark in a central location in the city of David. And so when he went down, what he failed to do, though, was to get God's protocol on how the ark was to be transported. He failed to get God's protocol on who was to do it, how it was to be done. And so he gathered all the military men and they went down to get the ark of the covenant. But when they went down, the Bible says that they put the ark on an ox. And when they did, as they were traveling, the ox stumbled and Uzzah touched it and touched the ark and tried to steady it. And the Bible says God struck him down. And the Bible says that David became angry with God and he got fearful. And he said, but how can we ever get this ark down to the city of David? And so what he decided to do was to divert the caravan, and they took the ark down instead to Obed-Edom's home. The Bible says it stayed there for another 3 months. And when David heard that Obed-Edom was being blessed, he decided, we got to go get this ark. So he went down, he got the ark, and by this time, though, he had learned God's protocol. He had learned what God had told Moses should be done, who was to carry it, and how it was to be done. And so they got the ark, and they were all excited, taking the ark down now into the city of David. The Bible said he danced before the Lord, excited. And when he got into his own home, Michael, his wife, despised him. You carried on like a commoner. But he said, I will dance before the Lord. I will humble myself. Glory be to God. I will dishonor myself before the Lord. And that's the background for the story. And so this morning I want to share from the topic. This morning I want to share from the topic, the story behind my praise. There's a story behind my praise. Glory be to the name of God. I don't know how many of you have ever heard of Shirley Caesar, but she's one of those black gospel artists I grew up on. I love Shirley Caesar. And one of her songs that she wrote was Hold My Mule. And this particular song, in this song, she speaks of an elderly gentleman who joined the church. And she said that this church was a dead church. Did not believe in speaking in tongues and dancing and shouting. But he joined the church anyway. And when he joined the church, because it was like fire shut up in his bones, when he got in the church, he began to dance and shout. And they decided, you know, we got to sit old Shelton John down because we don't carry on like this in our church. And so they decided they're going to sit him down. And when they sat him down, he jumped back up.
They decided they would hold his feet, his legs, but his hands got to moving because it's fire shut up in my bones. And then when they held his hands, his feet got to moving. And the Bible, and she said in the song that they said, you know what, we got to go out to old Sean John's house because he needs to know we don't carry on like this in our church. Doesn't he know we have dignitaries in here and we just don't act like that? And so they decided they were going to go down to his house. So they went down to Sean John's home, and when they went, they found him walking behind his mule, plowing his field. So he went over to them and had a conversation, and they said, the deacon said to him, so John, we need you to know that you can't dance and shout in our church like that, and if you don't stop, we're going to put you out of the church. And so he said, you know what? You're going to have to put me out because look at all of this land that you just drove upon. God gave it to me. And you don't want me dancing in your church? Look at my children. Not once did I have to go to the cemetery. Not once did I have to go around the court. And you telling me I cannot dance in your church? Look at me. I am an 86-year-old man, and I still have strength in my body, and I can move. I can plow my own field. I can harvest my own crop, and you don't want me dancing in your church? Hold my mule. Glory be to God. I'm going to shout right here. Handarababokoshata. You don't want me dancing, and when I think of what God has done for me, and you're going to tell me, sit down? The devil is a liar. I will make my boast in the Lord. The humble will hear thereof and be glad. I got to praise, and I got to get it out. I got a story, to glory be to God. And there's a praise behind my story. Glory be to Jesus. When we look in scripture, we see there are many people that have stories and they have praises behind it. Every one of us have a story. You know, the kind where the mess becomes a message, where the test becomes a testimony. Every one of us have a story, but we determine how our story ends. We determine if our story is going to end in victory or failure. No one determines that but us. I don't care. You know, there's a saying, I haven't heard it here, but there's a saying, when the fat lady sings it over. I don't care if that fat lady sings a gospel, jazz, country, whatever. It doesn't depend on the fat lady. It depends on you. Oh, glory be to the name of God. Satan doesn't even determine when your story ends. You determine it. Theta, how long should I stand? How long should I stand? 1 week? 2 weeks? 3 weeks? 4 weeks? A month? You stand until you win. Brother Hagin used to say, if you resolve to stand forever, it's not very long. Oh, glory be to the name of God. I stand until I win, because this is the victory that overcomes the world, even my faith. So I stand. I stand until I win. Glory be to God. So we look in scripture and we see the children come through the Red Sea. They come through, and Moses had a meeting, a praise and worship service, recognizing the goodness of God bringing them through. But this is what I like. The Bible says Miriam grabbed a tambourine. She grabbed a tambourine and she began to sing and she began to dance, and all of the women in the group or in the tribes or in Israel, they followed behind her. All the women, you can imagine all those voices, thousands of voices, female voices, going up worshiping the Lord. And they danced. I don't think they did it for 10 minutes. I don't think they did it for 20. I think they danced till the night. because you, glory be to God, need to know that your miracle or the value of your miracle is expressed in your praise. Glory be to God. And what is so interesting is that you have scientists who would say that, oh, no miracle took place. They would say that, oh, it was just a tsunami. And some would say, oh, it's hurricane force winds that did it. And some don't even believe. But I say, let's call Miriam here and let's have a conversation with Miriam. Sister Miriam, I knew you heard what the scientists have said. How do you feel about that? Well, Sister Dita, what I think is, I've been there, done that, and I bought the t-shirt. And what you need to know, glory be to the name of God, is I lived the experience. I know what it is. My back or our backs were against the wall, and we were between a rock and a hard place, and God stepped in. So it doesn't matter the logistics of how it was done. Sister Dita, I know you heard the story. You heard the story of how the man was on the roof and he wanted God to rescue him, and God sent a helicopter. No, I'm waiting on God to rescue me, he said. Oh, but God sent a boat. Oh, no, I'm waiting on God. Went to heaven after he died. God, how come you didn't rescue me? God said, I send a helicopter. I send a boat. But you didn't take any of them. So, Sister Dita, glory to God. I don't care if it was a tsunami. I don't care, glory be to the name of God, if it was hurricane force winds. All I knew is when I needed him, the tsunami showed up. When I needed him, hurricane force winds showed up. So it doesn't matter what it was, God came through when I needed him. Oh, come on, glory to God. You know what it is for your back to be against the wall, and no one can help you but God step in. I'm talking about the fact that there's a story behind my praise. So Miriam would say, bring the scientist to me. And I'll say, and she'll say to the scientist, hold my mule. Because I got a praise. And I got to get it out. Glory be to the name of God. Glory be to the name of Jesus. I have a praise. I got a praise. You know when you find yourself in that place where if God didn't come through, if God didn't rescue you, no one could help you. Your husband loves you but can't help you. Your wife loves you but can't help you. Your mother loves you and cannot help you, but God. So I have a praise, and I got to get it out. So just hold my mule. Hold my mule, because I gotta shout, and I gotta get it out. And so glory to God. I remember I was ministering home. I think it might have been sometime last year, and my good friend, asked her brother, what did Dita preach on? And before the brother could answer, the mother said, you know, Dita, she always got a story. And so I hear David saying, well, you know, Dita, I just like you, I got a story too. And so David would say, you know, my story is that I so love the presence of the Lord that I wanted to have the ark here in the city of David. David said, my soul, early will I seek you, O Lord. My soul, my will, my emotions, my intellect. Oh, it thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land. David loved the presence of the Lord. And so he was excited to now have the presence back in Jerusalem. He was excited because you remember when Eli's sons died and when Eli died and Eli's daughter-in-law heard that the Ark of the Covenant was taken. The Bible says that she went into labor and she named the child what? Ichabod. Means that the glory of the Lord has left. So David now was excited because the glory, the presence of the Lord was coming back. Because see, in the Old Testament, they had the glory or the presence upon, but we have him within. Glory be to the name. And so David was excited because now the presence of the Lord is coming back in Jerusalem. So besides the fact that now they're able to bring the ark and no one dies, he's now celebrating. The Bible says he danced before the Lord with all his might. Because the presence, he loved the presence. In your presence, he said, it's great joy. He said, I'll rather dwell in the house of the Lord than in the tents of wickedness. David loved being in the presence of the Lord. And so now he gets to bring it back and he's celebrating. He's celebrating with everything that is within him. I remember last year I went to Africa, spent a month there, and ended up going back home, spent a week before coming back to Canada. While at home, I decided to have two nights of meetings. The first night went well, healings and all that stuff took place. But the final night, half hour before the service, I had a self-pity, a pity party. Everyone from every Camp Dave or Camp Satan showed up big time. Every doubt, fear, guilt, condemnation, grief, every Camp Satan showed up. No one from Camp Jesus showed up to my party. No one. But I'm sitting there half an hour. Normally before a meeting, I like to get centered. I'm praying for the meeting. I'm praying for the service. I like to get centered. But that night, I'm sitting down and I'm crying. I'm crying, oh God, I'm tired of doing this by myself. I'm tired of doing this every time. I'm always doing it by myself. Where's the team you promised me? Where's the helpmate? Where's the mate you promised will do exploits with me in the kingdom? I'm tired of this. I'm tired. And I'm crying. All this came about because I had to struggle to find a ride to get to the service. And I'm there talking to God. When I was, before I left for Canada, I had my own car. I was in the process of buying a house. God, I tired of this. I'm tired. And I said, God, no one would ever understand the sacrifices I have made to say yes to you. But you understand. So when will there be laughter in my life? When will I laugh like everybody else? When will I have my Isaac? When will I have my promise? And I'm crying and I'm like tired and I'm weary and I'm like, you know, but I went to the service. That service was the hardest service I ever preached. It was like a brass heaven over the meeting. The people, the spirit, you remember Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh? Oh my God, the spirit of Eeyore was in that meeting. Oh Lord, the people were sitting down, they wouldn't move, they had, you know. And I, to this day, I cannot remember what I preach. But I do remember praying for the sick. And people got healed. But it wasn't because I felt an unction. It was because I did it in faith. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And God, in his compassion, healed the people. And just to go forward for 2 seconds, I came back to Canada. 2 weeks after I got back, I got a call from one of the ladies. Said, Dita, I had to tell you this. I was in a conversation with one of the ladies who got healed and said, we're still walking in our healing. And said, we were talking and saying how we still feel the anointing from that service. And when she said that, I said, really? Because I felt nothing in that service, right? And so she said they still felt it. But going back then to the Friday night, I got back and my friend took me home and obviously I started venting again. I am so tired of this. When is God going to do? When is he going to work? You know, so obviously in I know what happened in the service because from the beginning to the end, I venting and I having my own little pity party, right? I went to the early morning prayer meeting. A friend of mine invited me to early morning prayer meeting at her church. The pastor who also walks in the office of the prophet, she didn't come up to me and say, good morning, how are you? Welcome to Anointed to Reign. Hello. None of that. The first words came out of her mouth were, you're weary. You're tired. It was only left for me to say, boo. You know, but you're weary. You're tired. God says, don't be discouraged. And she read my book from cover to cover. by the time she was finished with me, I felt the love of God in such a way. I felt like I could run through an army and leap over a wall. I was like, come on, Satan, bring it on. My spirit and mind now was re-energized. I was ready to face anything. I was like, bring it on. And I felt so loved. Because see, Satan had planted a seed the night before that had I allowed that seed to grow, maybe it might have matured a week, 2 weeks, 5 weeks, a month, 5 years, 20 years from the, I don't know. Had I allowed it to stay there and to grow, fertilize it with whatever and to grow, I could have gone to that point where my faith in God dwindled. My pursuit of God dissipated. I lack confidence in God. And I could have just given up on him. But I know Songs of Solomon, you know, in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 8 says that there's a season or there's a time for everything under the sun. There's a time to build, a time to tear down, a time to plant, a time to reap. There's a time for everything, but nowhere in the book of Ecclesiastes does he ever say it's a time to quit. Nowhere in the Bible, if you find it in the Bible, come show me. But nowhere does it say it's a time to quit. I remember being at Rhema, and one of Pastor Hagin's favorite statements was, I will not quit, and I will not be defeated. Bryce, you remember? Yes, I will not. And so I look and I said, you know what, saying you lost. You have lost because I will bless the Lord. And it doesn't matter what you go through. You determine how your story ends. Because I could have thrown in the towel on God. I could have given up on God. But God gets no glory when we give up on him. God gets no glory when we throw in the towel. You remember the Hebrew boys? The Bible says that the statue was made and they were told you have to bow down and worship. They said no. Nebuchadnezzar said, maybe you don't understand what I'm saying. I'm going to give you another chance. When you hear the music, you bow. And they said, we're not going to bow. So they were thrown in into the fiery furnace. When they were thrown in, the Bible says that they were walking around as if the flames of the fire was some kind of decor. You know, they were just walking around. They weren't affected by it. The only thing affected was the ropes that bound them. They didn't smell the smoke. Their hair wasn't singed. None of that. And the Bible says that when Nebuchadnezzar pulled them out, he actually eventually passed a decree that anyone that speaks anything negative about the God of the Hebrew boys, that they will be torn limb from limb and their house become a garbage dump. That's giving glory to God. When you stand, God gets glory. He gets no glory when you give up. None. He gets none. No glory. And you know, when we look from our text, we find where the Bible says that Micah, even before we get there, one of the things that I like about David is the fact that it didn't matter what people thought about him. He had an audience of one, and his audience was God. The Bible says that he danced, and he danced with all of his might. And he danced because he knew who his God was. And you know what? If you don't know the praise, or if you don't know the story, don't judge the praise. If you don't know what I've been through, because see, I don't look like what I've been through. I don't even look like what I am going through. But if you don't know my story, you don't judge my praise. You don't stand and say, you think it take all of that? You think she got to raise her hand like that? You think she got to... No, you don't know my story. So you don't judge my praise. You don't know your neighbor's story, so you don't judge their praise. David had an audience of one. The Bible says he danced. And I like the fact that his praise was radical. He just danced like, you know, and this is it. The Bible says every six steps he made, he offered a sacrifice and a ox and a calf. Imagine this, a journey that should have taken, that was 9.5 miles long. Every 20 minutes should have been equate to 1 mile. But every six steps, He offered a sacrifice. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. A sacrifice. An ox and a calf. One, and that even in 20 minutes here. So every time he stopped, that must have been about an hour and a half. And so a journey that should have taken only 9.5 miles took forever. And so I could imagine those traditional religious Christians. My God, I got to go out. He doesn't know I have somewhere to be. I have the children. I got to take them to the mall. And we have our own agenda. But David was like, hey, God, this is for you. And what I like about this, David, Solomon picked up on David's practice. Because the same thing David did, Solomon did. When Solomon moved the temple from the city of David into the temple that he had built, the Bible says he offered so much cattle and sheep and stuff, it could not be numbered. They were under procession, they could not be numbered. Because it's all about God. It's all about God, and they value the presence of the Lord. What do you value? Do you value God? Do you value his presence? Do you love being in his presence? Because if you value it, it will be expressed. It'll show up. Because when I think about what coulda, woulda, shoulda happened in my life, I gotta show. When I think about had it not been for God, I could have been dead. I could have been 6 feet below. I could have been deported. Yo, that's a whole different story. You understand when I think about God. So you don't know my story. Don't judge my praise. Glory be to the name of Jesus. When I think of what could have, what should have happened, I ought to bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praises will forever be on my lips. Forever. So when we look at David, David wasn't even dignified. He danced out of his clothes, left only with his the linen ephod on, which was just a tunic. He danced out of it. That's why the wife said, look at you. Look, you're the king, look at you. But it didn't matter. Because as far as he was concerned, he had an audience of one. In spite of all the people who were around, an audience of one. Oh, God looks at the heart, man looks at the outward appearance. He had an audience of one, and he blessed the Lord. Because we can't come into the presence of the Lord all sophisticated. Oh, glory to God. Or Eon need to help you lift, or someone need to help you lift your hand. Praise and worship team needs to pump you up. No! I know what God has done for me. Oh, bless the Lord, for he is good. And his mercy endures forever. I don't need you to pump me up. I don't need you to lift me up. I know who God is. I know who God is. I don't need you. I don't need. When I in my house, man, you can't tell me I'm just doing my own thing and who I don't care. I live dignified here, compared to whom? Because I'm mindful. You know, some people like Peter, you think it take all that. You understand what I mean? But I bless the Lord, and I will bless him at all times. I don't care. I dance, and I if I could have danced, y'all would have seen dance. But I love the Lord, and I know what he has done for me, and words can never express what my God has done for me. I can't bless him for you. Your value of what he has done for you may not be much, but when I think of what I have been through, and when I think of what I am going through, I will bless the Lord. I will lift up my voice unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord. I bless the Lord, for my God is good. And he is greatly, greatly to be praised. So we can't be sophisticated in God. You can imagine being all sophisticated and full of pride. In the present, say, God, that's a stench in his nostrils. That's why Satan was kicked out of heaven. Pride have no place in the presence of God. no place whatsoever in the presence of God. You know, I don't have to lift my hands because I'm lifting it up on the inside. I don't have to open my mouth because God knows my heart. I don't have to bow in humility before him because, you know, God, you know, don't take all of that. You remember the story with the little boy? You know, God, the teacher tell him, go stand in the corner. I'm standing up on the outside, but I'm sitting down on the inside. Come on. God sees your heart and he sees pride and it will not be accepted. God wants pure worship. He wants our worship to be pure before him. Come into his presence with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. The Bible talks about the woman who you know, she anointed Jesus' feet. And when she went to, when Jesus went to Simon, the Pharisee's house, he said, you know, you don't think she know, he knows she's a sinner? Jesus had to ask him if there's a debtor or if there's a creditor who has loaned money to two persons, 105, 150, who would love the most? Jesus said, the one who has forgiven the most. And so the woman with the Pharisee, the woman, the Bible says that she went before Jesus, knelt before him. This was a woman, the woman caught in adultery, knelt before him, washed his feet with her tears, dried it with her hair, and then anointed it with the most expensive perfume. Because she was forgiven much. He who is forgiven much loves much. What is your value of what God has done for you? What is the value that you place on what God has done? If it is placed on a scale, you know those balance, you know? Where do you place your value here and the what God here? Would it go low? Like, what is the value of what God has done for you? Because he who loves much was forgiven much. Was forgiven much. Much. I remember the last quarter of last year. No, this is 19, right? 2017, sorry. I was lying in bed and I felt something moving in my abdominal region. And so I went to the doctor. Doctor had me do scan. And she called me when she got the results. She said, Dita, there's some fibroids, but that's not what concerns me. What concerns me is there's a cyst, a complex cyst. And it could be ovarian cancer. And there's fluid around it, and we don't know where the fluid is coming from. And she's talking to me, and she's saying, we want you to do a CR125 test. That's to see if there's cancer in the body. She's talking to me, and I'm laughing. So she must have thought I was in denial. I was delusional, but I'm laughing. And I'm saying, Satan, you got to be joking, right? That's what I literally, you check my journal, you'll see that. Dita, Satan, you got to be joking. And why this is significant is that I was getting ready to go home because my mom was battling cancer. And so to hear that, the enemy was trying to plant little seed of fear there. And so I'm like, you know, I hung up from the lady, from the doctor, and I turned to the God, I trust you. And God dropped in my spirit Isaiah 44:8. Do not fear. Have I not told you, have I not proclaimed a long time ago, you are my witness, and I am your God. And so I hold on to that, God, I will not fear. I hung up after I finished talking to the Lord, I called contact friends, and I said, y'all got to stand with me, the enemy trying to attack my health. Call my mentors, call my spiritual father, I call them, pray with me. And so I went home and helped deal with my mom, came back to Canada, had to go back because my mom died. Came back to Canada in early 2018, went to the doctor, by this time I'd been referred to the specialist. Went to the specialist, and he referred me. I had to have MRIs done, blood work, all kind of an ultrasound. Had to have all these things done. And that time, I'm standing on the word of God. I'm telling you, don't know my story? Don't judge me, right?
So I'm standing on the word of God. God, I am healed by Jesus' stripes. I am healed. I don't care what the report says. I believe the report of the Lord. So he got the report from all of the stuff that I had done. And he said, when I went back to him, he said, Dita, good news is there's no cysts. If there's no cysts, there's no fluid. If there's no fluid, there's no cancer. I was like, praise the Lord. So he said, you know what? I want you to do this again. So he, and as far as I'm concerned, I'm only doing it to, you know, to appease him. As far as I'm concerned, I'm healed. I need no, you know, I'm healed. And so I went back, had the test done, went back to him, and he said again, yes, there's nothing. You don't need to come back to me. And I bless the Lord. Because, see, the enemy wanted the seed of fear to be planted in me. The enemy wanted me to get to that point where I said, you know, where he said, you know, your daddy died from cancer. Your sister died from cancer. Your mother died from cancer. This is a genetic trait. But what he failed to realize, glory be to the name of God, I have a new DNA that supersedes Harabobosha. That supersedes my genetic DNA. This new DNA says that by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. This new DNA says that with long life, I will satisfy you. This new DNA says that, glory be to the name of God, the word of God is medicine to my flesh. So I'm telling you, he forgot, or he seemed to have forgotten, I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, he came too late. Because I know who I am. So he showed up too late to bring the spirit of fear to me. And so I'm telling you, hold my mule. Because I got to praise. And I got to get it out. Glory be to the name of God. I cannot sit still because I got to praise. I cannot keep my mouth shut because I got a praise and I got to get it out. I cannot stand still because I have a praise and I got to get it out. Because my God is a good, good God. He's a good, good God. Some of you might say, well, Dita, my story isn't like yours. My story isn't even like the other one. I don't have no story. Yes, you have a story. If you name the name of Jesus, that is the greatest story you can ever have. That is the greatest story if you name the name of Jesus. And when I think about the fact that people tend to just give up, you can have a story beyond being born again. Just don't throw in the towel. Just stand. You know, what amazes me, in Job 5:9, it says that the God that we serve, he is known, he is famous for doing great and mighty acts. And he does surprises. He's known for his surprises. And if we serve a God who is known for, famous for doing great and mighty acts, and performing endless surprises, why would you give up? He could come through today like that. He could come through like that. Why give up? And in Isaiah 64:4, it says that from ancient times, there's no God. There's no God like ours. No, there's no God who no ear has heard, no eye have seen. A God like ours who acts on behalf of those that wait on him. God will come through, people. All you need to do is wait. I know waiting isn't easy. I know nobody wants to wait because we live in this microwave society. You put it in and you're still tapping when it could be finished. Nobody wants to wait. People don't want to wait. But they that wait on the Lord, all their strength shall be renewed. They will mount up with wings as eagle, and they will run and not be weary, and they will walk and not faint. Wait on the Lord. Man, don't throw in the towel. Don't throw in the towel, and you will have a story behind your praise. Because God wants you to have a story. There's nothing you can ever go through that God cannot deliver you from.
just want to close with this. And when we look in the Gospels, we find where the Bible says that Jesus went to Jairus' house, told Jairus' daughter, wake up. She woke up. She had just died. Maybe a couple hours, just died. Then when he went to the, he was walking in Nain. He told the widow's son, get up. This was actually a funeral procession. That means they were on the way to the graveyard. But Jesus said, get up. But he responded, woke up. When we look in the book of John, we see Lazarus. Been in the grave 4 days. Martha said, God, he stinks. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. What problem do you have that can top any of those? Just died, been dead, been dead. What problem? There's no problem that you have that our God cannot fix. If he raised the dead, he can fix your situation. If he raised the dead, he can deal with you. Oh, come on. Don't throw in the towel. But wait on our God, because he will act. Oh, my God. This isn't a maybe you're thinking. No, no. He will act. There's no doubt. He will act. Oh, and he's waiting for someone to trust him. He's waiting to show himself strong in the lives of his people. Because then he gets glory. When you stand and when you put your trust in him, there's nothing too hard for God to do. And he wants you to have a praise behind your story. He wants you to have a praise behind your story. Then your people, your neighbors, your co-workers would look at you and say, who's this that brought you out? How is it that you were able to? Then you can say, it's all about God. God did it. And then he gets glory. Amen? He gets glory. Because the God that we serve is awesome. And I just want to do one thing that I saw. One of the things that it's like I see a video recorder in my head. And so I want to reenact what I saw. That made sense? And so I'm going to reenact. So I don't... When we praise God, there's greater interaction, the Holy Spirit. And when we do that, there's greater manifestation of his presence. Made sense? And so as I do what I feel God has asked me to do, I don't want you, as Pastor said, to spectate. Pray in the Spirit. Forget lunch. The body stuff, feeding the body is a temporal thing. You know what I mean? But when you feed the Spirit, that's eternal. Yeah? And so don't forget food for a minute. You can eat plenty of food there and everybody can have something. You know, you'll all have a little something to eat. But let's just focus on what God wants for a moment. Right? Because it's all about God. This is God's service, right? Is it his service or is it our service? It's his service. So let's flow with him. Let's flow with him so that we don't grieve him and we don't quench him in any way. So let's flow with him. So what you just to pray in the Spirit. Those who can pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit so that we can have the presence of the Lord manifested with us. Amen? So just pray in the Spirit. You can pray. You cannot pray in the Spirit. Pray in your known language, but pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.